Morning. Good to see you all this morning. And it's almost spring. I got a little excited last week, but it got a little colder last night, but you'll have this. Vicki had shared with you that we're going to be taking communion at the end of this service. So there's like a bunch of ushers out there. You're all ready to do that. When I tell you it's time, I'll say 1, 2, 3, go. No, I won't do that. That wouldn't fit in, right? That's the wrong mood. Just walk around the back over down that wall and just wait at the table over there, and Bob will give you the stuff to hand out. When it comes around, normally we use grape juice instead of wine. But you're going to see something a little bit different today. In each of the tray, half of the tray is grape juice. The other half is green beer. And we just thought that would be fitting for the season. You think I'm kidding, don't you? Yeah, I am. Okay. We thought about that a little too late. No. But I'm sorry. I wasn't going to say that during communion because that would ruin the atmosphere. I told Vicki to say that, but she chickened out. Or maybe she has much more sense than I do. I don't know. But looking forward to communion. The reason we're doing it today, we'll be having communion again almost said Black Friday. I knew that wasn't right. It's okay, I'm serious. On Good Friday. And the reason I want to do it today is because I really enjoyed, this is the last day that we're going to be talking about specifically this series of that we started a long time ago when Ronnie suggested we watch The Voice of the Martyrs and the Torture for Christ. And so we watched that, and then we've been for like 10 weeks or so or whatever. And sometimes pastors can go on with the series for like ever, you know. And my problem is today, if I'm going to finish up this series, I'm already standing there thinking, oh, I should say this, and oh, I should say that. And I had to really limit my notes today to what I wanted to say, because all that stuff, there's always so much to say. And so I was just going to combine a whole bunch of services, and we'll just stay till 3 o'clock, but I don't think that's going to work. So we're going to finish up the series. But when we're talking about walking upstream, going against the flow of where society's going, really, I don't think I can be any more serious for believers to do that. And I often think, you know, I'm like really, really old now, 60. And if I, sorry, you guys that are 61, but I often think, you know, what do they say? We get too soon old and too late smart. You've heard that. But that is so true when it comes spiritually, isn't it? If I could go back and if I could start over again at the beginning, I wouldn't want to, for one thing, but if I could, I would do things differently. I would probably make some different decisions, some different choices in things in my life. And I love that the students, for the most part, sit down front, and the young people, I just, you know, you're a young person. Yes. All right, good. Yeah, you just looked at me funny when I said young person. You thought I was talking about your dad. No, obviously, he wouldn't be. But I know I sound old when I say this, but these things, I am so excited at what God can do through you guys. And because I can't go back and do it over again. I often think if I could go back and start and know what I know now and go back and start, I would be a much different person. And I think most of us that are out there are saying, yeah, me too. But you got to take our words for it, I guess. But this is such truth and such wisdom that God shares with us in the Word of God. And I'm excited that you guys are here, that you listen. And I hear that you're applying these things to your life. I hear that us older guys are too, you know. And I really appreciate that. I just think that's so exciting. And what we can do in our little piece of the world, in our little current of the world when we're going upstream, is just huge. It's just huge. And I know the world looks appealing and the friends look appealing and all this kind of stuff. But please, please be an example for us old people. I think the Bible even talks about that, right? Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but be an example by your life and your speech and your words, and you know, and that's not taking all the responsibility and putting it on you guys. That's really what God expects, and to challenge us old people to say, wow, the next generation is doing good. I guess I better pick up the pace because they're catching up with us, you know. And really the idea is really for you guys to understand some of our wisdom and go way past us. And that's what I want for my children. I want my children to grow up to honor God even more than I did. So, you know, getting to the end of the series, it's like, man, this is so important and so amazing. But I have to end it somewhere so we can keep going on and on. But we're going to end it today anyway, if I ever get started. And I'm going to pray before we get started because I think it's that important, what the subject that we're going to do today, that we're going to pray twice in one service. Wow, man, we're almost going back to the old days where you prayed, you know, five times in one service, but let's pray again. Lord Jesus, I love the students that are here. I love the way they listen and the way they take this, and I know, hearing from the staff and stuff, a lot of them are putting this right into their life, Lord. You're going to make a big impact through them, but they are going to go up against Satan in this world. And Lord, a lot of us older people are kind of set in our ways. Shame on us for that. Where we hear truth, but we think it's too late to change. And that's a lie from Satan. I pray that we might, in this time in our lives, fully honor you. Whatever change that needs to be taking place, please give us the wisdom to do it. You're an amazing God. Please speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. We talked to real quick, I think I have it on your notes there. Heroes have proper perspective. Heroes, we're talking about for people that say, okay, I'm going to make a difference in this world. You put your feet down in the current. We're drifting with the world. We say, I don't want to be like the world anymore. I want to be different. I want to be godly. I want to live for Jesus Christ instead of for myself and for the world. And we put our feet down and we finally say, I want to have a proper perspective that I'm, you know, a lot of the reasons why we don't live for Christ is because we're afraid and we're ashamed. We run up against our own fear and we just don't want to do it. It's going to be too hard. What are people going to think? But heroes of proper perspective, I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Heroes know they're being watched, not just by students, not just by people in their family. We're being watched by God himself. We're being watched by the world. They know they're being watched. Heroes get rid of excess weight. Just whatever it is that's keeping you from going upstream easily, get rid of it, you know? And that's a hard thing to do because we all have that sea anchor and there's junk in that sea anchor and it's not all bad. Sometimes it's just too much good stuff. I probably hear that more than anything in a church like this. There's too much stuff in our life, doing too many things, too much demand on our schedule that I can't participate in godly things. And literally, sometimes we have to get rid of good things for better things. We have to get rid of better things for best things. And that's something we learn sometimes as we get older. Heroes run with perseverance. It's not going to be easy. It gets tiring. Living for God all the time, doing your best, going against the flow of the world's currents, you know? It's tiring. It's hard. Heroes run with perseverance. Heroes run the race marked out for them. God has a plan for your life, your individual, specific life. Before you were born, he knit you together and made you able to do whatever it is he's called for you. He's laid out a path for you. You can't see it. You can see it when you're looking back, but you can't see it looking ahead. But God says, trust me today. And I'll take you where I want you to go and what I designed you to do. And whatever he called you to do and designed you to do, he will equip you to do. You can do it. But I'm getting ahead of myself, sorry. They run the race marked out for them. Heroes consider him, we talked about last week. Heroes stop and think, what did Jesus do for me? What did God do for me? What did they give up for me? What was their goal in getting to know me? Heroes consider God and say, is there anything that God wouldn't have done for me? Is there anything he didn't do for me? He sacrificed his son for me. And Jesus willingly went to the cross for me. And literally, maybe just as bad, came to earth for me and lived among us. And sacrificed his life for me and paid the penalty for sin. Heroes consider him. And that is a real motivating factor for me. If this is what God was willing to do for me, if this is what Jesus was willing to do for me, the least I can do is obey. Literally. For these couple of years that we're on earth, at least I can do is obey. So this is God's will for us. Now, here, Philippians 1, 27 to 30, if we boiled it down again, and we have tried all kinds of different ways to boil God's will for us down. Philippians 1, 27 to 30. This is it's so easy. It's the whole Bible is really, for the most part, easy to understand. You know, when you really stop and think it through and know enough of it, it's not a real complicated book because it's written to people like me, all right? I didn't even do good, and I couldn't even read my name in second grade. I couldn't pronounce my name when I saw it written down in second grade. And I only had three letters in my name. B-O-B. I had to sound that out at the end of my second grade year. And then like, whoa, Bob! So if I can read this, and I have the same Holy Spirit that you have. That's why I was in second grade two different years, all right? Wise teacher. Did good for me. I didn't like it at the time, but then I was older than everybody else in my class, so I was like, yeah. Anyway, Philippians 1, 27 to 30. Whatever happens, and see, when we talked about in all your ways, acknowledge him. Listen to this. Whatever happens, whatever you find yourself in, wherever you find yourself right now, whatever happens, this is God's general will for every believer. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That's God's general will for every believer. Whatever happens, wherever you are, be all there. Wherever you are, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ is Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again for me. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of that. And if you think you are like awesome and really cool, then ignore that. But if you think you were helpless to gain perfection that was granted to us by God for free when we believe in him, but none of us were. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then Paul says, whenever I come back to this church, whenever I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. When I come back to your church, I will see that you stand as one in the Spirit going that direction, which is way easier than going through a current all by yourself. Ask anybody who swims or bicycles or anything like that to be behind other people or runs or whatever makes it easier for everybody there. Ask the geese when they're flying over, what they're doing up there, you know? It's like, strive together as one for the faith. This is what God asks us to, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. And I really think a lot of it comes down to us being afraid to stand up for God. I don't think it's that we don't know how most of the time. We just don't feel like standing out in a crowd. We don't feel like being the only one. A lot of us stand up for God if we're in a large group. But I think sometimes that believers are just afraid to be different, afraid to be godly, afraid to say a word of encouragement or a word of testimony or a word of witness, not just from the front of a group of believers, but in their own life, in school, afraid to say no, afraid to say, I won't talk like that, afraid to say, I can't be your friend if this is what's happening. And so we give in and compromise because we want to go that way, but look like we're going that way. Yeah, you can't serve two masters.
And I just think it's so cool that when we stand together for the faith without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, it says this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved. And we think, I'm the one that's going to be afraid. But when they see your courage and your willingness to be right, your willingness to stay pure, your willingness to stay focused on going that direction, not weirdly so. And when they see that they can't talk you down and that you have standards that they only make fun of, I think it frightens this world. That's why they're so afraid. Why in the world is our U.S. system so afraid of Christians? Of the conservative Christians. Why are they so afraid of us if you're a conservative Christian? Because we frighten them. Because we're not going away. Should I just get into a political speech here? Why? I'm not going to. I just feels like I should. Maybe I run for president. Everybody else is, anyway. So, I think this is really cool, because when we stand up for the gospel without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you, this is a sign to them that they will be destroyed and that you will be saved, and that by God, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. That wording is really cool. God granted you the privilege of suffering for him. We've talked about persecution. No one likes persecution. But God has granted it to you. In God's kingdom, that's an honor to suffer for Christ. So when you feel like stepping down and you feel like heading downstream, and when you're being laughed at, just sit there, just smile and wave. Smile and wave and say, thank you, God, that they're doing this to me, against me, that I lost this because I made the stand, that I lost my job because of the stand, I lost a friend because of the stand. Because in God's economy, that's currency. You know? That's what it says here. It's been granted unto you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but to suffer for him, since you are going through the same struggles you saw I had. And he was talking to people that were being physically persecuted and losing things, and now here that I still have. So here's what happens. We set out as believers to try to live up to God's expectations to us. God has high expectations for us, and he has right reason to do that. I have high expectations for myself and for my family. And for you guys as a church, but we set out to live up to God's expectations, but it's hard. It's not easy. It goes against everything in us to stand up for God, to make a difference in this world. And I'm not telling you, don't stand up for God the way I stand up for God, okay? You stand up for the way God has for you to do it, okay? It doesn't have to be me. It doesn't have to be my examples. You stand up for whatever God has called you to do, not what God has called me to do. Don't look at someone else and say, I'm not like them. I'm not, well, duh, of course you're not like them. You're like you, okay? And some of you guys, it's good that you're the only one that's like you, all right? But still, God designed you like that. You are just called to stand up for what God has made you to stand up for, with the personality that God has given you. And Abby so rightly said, is not a spirit of fear or timidity, but a spirit of power, love, and of sound mind. So you can't use I'm afraid as an excuse, because God didn't make you that way. Anyway, so stand up, but it's hard. And so here comes the problem I see. We try and we fail. We try and we fail. We try and we get laughed at. We try and we get really hurt, especially in the beginning we get hurt. And it's like, oh, you know, and I've had so many people said, I tried to share this and I couldn't. I tried to do this and I couldn't. I tried to overcome this sin and I couldn't, okay? And we end up with this I can't mentality. I can't. Okay? Now, everything you know about God is I can't a legitimate excuse. Well, it depends. Okay? And it depends. Here it is. I can't. I can't endure. I have tried. It is so hard in school. I have tried. It is so hard in college. How many college students have left the church? Literally, by going to college, I can't. There's so much pressure. I can't endure. So many friends, I can't endure. So much junk at work, I can't endure. I can't make it through. I've heard people say all these things. I can't make it through. I can't keep running this race. I've done it. How many people do you know seem like great believers, you know, and they're serving God and serving God and serving God, and all of a sudden they say, I can't do it anymore, all right? Either no one notices or no one builds me up or nobody cares or I feel like I'm the only one. I just can't do it anymore. I can't do it anymore. I can't keep running the race. I can't pick up the, and you want me to pick up the pace, all right? You want me to walk upstream faster. It's good enough to stand here, right? I can't go any farther. I have my whole entire family against me. I have my whole school system against me. I have all these people at work against me. I'm the only one. I can't pick up the pace. I'm doing good enough just to stand here. I can't run the race marked out for me because I think I know what it would be and what God's calling me to do. What I every once in a while have that little feeling inside that, Bob, you should, but I can't do that, God. That's too much. You can't ask that of me. I can't do it. I can't stand up for you anymore. I can't share Jesus Christ. I don't know the verses. My tongue gets messed up. I can't do that. I can't forgive them for what they did to me. I can't forgive him for hurting me. I can't forgive her for hurting me. I can't forgive my dad for what he did to me and what my cousins and what my uncles did to me. I can't forgive. I can't forgive that person that cheated me. I just can't forgive them. And God, I certainly cannot wait in this world of pornography and of free sex. I can't wait. And they're telling me in school who I can and can't have sex with because it's about being at the age of the people. I can't wait. There's so much pressure and so much on. I can't wait. I can't be pure. I can't obey God. I can't obey God because that's not who I am. I'm a Dutchman. I tried to do that in my Dutch accent, and I don't think I have one. It would probably sound more Chinese, okay? I can't obey. I can't go to the mission field and take my kids and my family. I can't go to a Christian college because I might not make enough money. Probably you'll make more. But I can't go there because everyone's pushing me to go here. And if my kids go, they can't have my grandkids. I don't mind if other people go to the mission field and I'll support the Merricks and all these other people, but I don't take my grandkids. I can't give my grandkids up. God, I can't love my spouse anymore. I can't do it. You ought to see what they've done to me. They cheated on me. I can't love them. I can't forgive them. And we get into this, I can't. As believers, we buy into this, I can't stuff. I can't. And you know what? Honestly, I don't think most of us can. And the whole Bible agrees with us that we probably can't. Because it is hard living for God. It is hard to forgive and forgive and forgive. It is hard to stand up when everybody, it is hard to live in a situation where you were abused. It is hard to live up to those things that God calls us to do and the expectations he had for us. And that's why Ephesians 3, 14 to 21 is so relevant here. And I think that, see, this is another one that Paul wrote to a church. And as I look at this, I feel a little bit guilty because it seems like Paul was always praying for his churches. And I just sometimes feel a little bit guilty about that because I get caught up in my life sometimes. But listen to what he says. For this reason, because you can't, because it's hard, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His, the Father's, glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being. And all through the Bible, I see a recognition of
Yeah. You can go as far as you can, but it's never, you're never going to be, you're going to wear out. You're going to give up. You have some of your own strength and some of your own gasoline or fuel in you, but you can't do this life I'm calling you to do. And so Paul says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth derives his name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Now we're getting somewhere. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith in Jesus Christ. Paul prays that we may be strengthened in our inner being because we are weak people. Now, I know some of us men don't like to think of ourselves as weak people. I know some of you women don't like to think of yourselves as weak people. But we try and try and try and we get scared and we shut down and we slow down and we stand still in the stream and then we start to head backwards because we're just, I've given it everything I can and I can't go any farther. And Paul knows that because he's one of those people and he's writing to all these churches that are those people. And he's writing to our churches because we can't or we're unwilling or something. And he starts to introduce a really cool thing. He prays to God that God may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in your inner being. That's the Holy Spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts. So you know what that's talking about, right? Who is the Spirit? Has one word before it. Starts with a whole. And ends with my middle name. Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The moment you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the moment you said, and whatever you want to call it, the moment you said, God, I believe that you loved me. I believe that I'm separated from you because I'm a sinner. I can't be good enough. I believe that you died for me. The moment you do that, what happens to your insides? They all of a sudden can do it all, right? They're all of a sudden strengthened, and it's like, woo, cool. You get this special burst of energy, maybe for a moment. You are given the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing your inheritance someday. God himself, in the form of the Holy Spirit, takes up residence inside your life. Don't ask me to explain it much farther than that, okay? But the Bible sometimes is like, don't you know that your body is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit? Come on, duh. Don't you know this? Every one of you as a believer has been given the Holy Spirit upon the moment of your salvation. Every single one of you. Who is the Holy Spirit? Someone really wise, tell me who the Holy Spirit is. Well, I thought it was the Holy Spirit. It's God. God in the form of the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside of your life. In your heart, your soul. And he is there. As surely as you're sitting here, God has taken up residence in your life. So he's praying that you may be strengthened with power through his Spirit that's in you so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through him. Okay, we know that. That was a, you all weren't fall off your chairs in an amazing revelation of my superior knowledge of the scriptures. You all know this, all right? He says, and I pray that you being rooted and established in love may have power together with all the Lord's holy people, all of them, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ and to know this love that surpasses knowledge that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God says, I want you to, Paul says, I want you to know Christ. And I want you to be able to grasp how wide and deep and how much the Holy Spirit brought into your life. At whatever age you accepted Christ, you have the same Holy Spirit. that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of Christ. All of Christ is alive and living inside of you as a believer in Jesus Christ. All of Christ. Everything that God is alive and living inside of you. You've been given the Holy Spirit. He has taken up residence in your life exactly the same way he took up residence in the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament in the temple. He has taken up residence in your life. And now he is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So when you say, I can't, well, aren't you a believer in Christ? Don't you have the Holy Spirit living inside of your life? Yes, if you're a believer in Christ, and you say, I can't, and he says, more than we ask or imagine, immeasurably more. God can give you the power to do immeasurably more than you could even imagine. But so many of us are stuck and got our foot stuck in a rock in the bottom of the stream going, I can't, I can't, I can't. I'm not on your case for that, I can't. I still run into those I can'ts in my life. It's like every other step upstream is an I can't. But see, one of the reasons that I think it would be fun to go back is because those things way back there that I couldn't do, that I look back and say, duh, that was, I'm saying duh a lot, aren't I? I'm just, because I didn't get much sleep last night. It was easier than thinking of a real word. But I look back and I think those things that I stumbled on and said I couldn't before, it's like, they're nothing now. So if I could go back with the, I get rid of so many I can'ts in my life, but I still got a lot more I can'ts ahead. But he is able to do in you immeasurably more than you can even ask or imagine. So whenever you say, I can't, God's in there going, I'm here. And you're probably right, you can't. Because if you could, you wouldn't need me. But I've called you to live a way different life than what you can do. I've called you to live what I can do in and through you. Please understand, I'm not making this up. Okay, you're seeing it up here. This is what God's word says. It's just, now that him is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask. And where is him at? Him is in my life. More than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work, where? In the pastor. In the elders. Yes. Yes, he is at work in me. Don't say no when I get to the pastor or the elders. But that's, yeah. In who? In you. If you are a believer, everything that God is at work in you. And all those excuses I can't are just overlooking and looking past God and just pushing him down in there. And it's like, now, I don't know what you can't do. I don't know. We'll look at that a little bit later. To him be the glory. And this is cool. To him be the glory. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. To God be the glory in our church. You know why our church is so successful? Because I wear a green shirt today and I am in touch with the holidays. Because he is doing whatever happens in this church. He is the one that's doing it. And every time I say I can't, I make this church stall. And every time you say you can't, you leave a gap. I can. It's God, to him be the glory. Because I couldn't do this. I specifically said for the first 35 years of my life, I can't be a pastor and I don't want to be. And some of you guys are thinking, well, you shouldn't have been. And I don't even care. Because I am, and it's not me. That's just amazing to me. That power at work in us believers, all of us believers, is none other than Christ in me or Christ in you. God's Holy Spirit, all the fullness of God in you. That's why then you get some other verses like Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. And a lot of us stop right there. I'm saved. When Jesus died, he died for me. It's as if I died. But Jesus died for me. I've been crucified with Christ. But I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Why think we forget that? Christ lives in me. All of God dwells in me. And so many of us stand there in the stream, I can't. And we forget that Christ lives in us. And he doesn't get stuck in an I can't space, in an I can't rock. I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So the life I live now, I live in the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So what I'm doing now, I'm not living in my own strength. I trust him to do what he says. Well, let me read it. I trust him to do in and through me all he says he will do. And is that the key to living for Christ? Is that the big revelation? I think so. And I know none of you are like, oh, what? We all know this, but that fear holds us back. Faith is supposed to push us forward. Fear is going to hold us back. Colossians 1:22. To this end I strenuously contend, and you can relate to that. To this end I strenuous, for whatever you can't do, whatever you can't get out of, whatever you can't forgive or keep going. To this end I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. I think it's just really clear. I think a lot of us know that. We say we're people of faith. Are we really? Faith says much different than that. Second Corinthians. I skipped around on my notes, so I'm like out of order. I don't care. Interesting condition that we live in right now is 2 Corinthians 4:7-10. We have this treasure in jars of clay. We're humans. That's a jar of clay. A jar of clay is just, you break it, it's like, oh, broke it, you know. You ever go to where they used to have, you know, make pottery in the old days? There's whole islands of broken pieces of pottery, shards of pottery, because it's just jars of clay. We have this treasure, Holy Spirit in us, in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. See, I can be here today, not because of my own strength and not because of my own power. I'm here today because God has me and is working inside of me. In spite of myself, he's working inside of me. I just love this whole thing. We have this treasure in jars of clay. Every one of us is like a jar of clay. We get scared, we back down, we're afraid, we just don't have enough faith. But when we understand Christ is in us, we have this treasure in a jar of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but in despair, persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. See, when I am weak, that's me. But God is in us, and he is strong. And that's why people are afraid, because they see we're not a jar of clay anymore. We are a vessel of the Holy Spirit. This is another perspective that Paul says, 1 Corinthians 12:8-10. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take this away from me. Some kind of trouble he was having or going through. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. Listen to this. For my power is made perfect in weakness. The power of God is only shown in our weakness. If we say, oh, I can do it. It's me. Well, then it's just me. But when I say, God, I can't do that. God says, I know.
but we can. My power will be shown in your weakness. And if you knew me, you would be amazed that I could be here. Therefore, I'll boast, he says, all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, and hardships, and persecutions, and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I can't do this. I can't do it. But God is using me. The glory goes to God. And that's where you're at. We're stuck, and we're trying to go upstream, and we get stuck in the I can't. That is an awesome place to be if you don't stay there. It's awesome when you recognize you can't. Someone says, oh, I can live this Christian life. That's no problem with me. Pride comes before a fall. And they will just destroy everybody they work with because they are so proud. They think they can handle it on their own. And we got to come to a point when we realize I'm stuck. I can't. And God says, did you get what I did? I don't even know what I did. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, difficulties. When I am weak, then I am strong. It's so cool. And I go to Colossians 1, 9 to 12, real quick. And just kind of down there for a little bit. I'll just read it. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, I'm going to skip down to what says, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. God's just an amazing God. Okay, so my last point on heroes of the faith. Heroes of the faith say what? Guess what I'm going to say. Heroes of the faith say, don't look at your notes. Well, you can. Heroes of the faith says, I can. Does that remind you of a verse in the Bible anywhere? Philippians 4, 12 to 13. Yeah, I can. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it has plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. What's it say? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, or through him who gives me strength, whatever version you're looking at. I know what it is to not be able to do stuff. But now I know who's living inside of me. And all my excuses are blown. Because I have all the power of God, the Holy Spirit, living inside of me. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And after communion, Abby and these guys are going to lead us in a song that we've just been practicing. What is it? Not I, but through Christ in me. Is that what it says? Not I? I know. Well, no. Just the one phrase says, not I, but through Christ in me, not I, but through Christ in me. That's after that Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I can't explain how that works. I can't explain how God can work in your life. I have trouble explaining how God can work in my life. But heroes say, I can through him who gives me strength. I can, should I say can or can? I can endure. I can endure. You can endure until God calls you home. I can make it through this situation. I can keep running. I can pick up the pace. I can run the race marked out for me. Why can you run the race marked out for you that is like would blow your mind if you knew it ahead of time? Why can you do that? Because of what? Because not I, but Christ through me. I can do that. And people of faith can do what God has called you to do because of Christ in you. Doesn't make you special. It elevates God because I can't, but God can. And this isn't, you don't repeat this to yourself like 8 times in a row and all of a sudden you can do it. It's not a mantra or something doesn't give you luck. I can run the race marked out for me. Even if everyone else says I shouldn't, I can do this.
I can stand up for God. I can share Jesus Christ. I can walk against the flow, even if I'm a student, even if I'm an employee, even if I am a young child, I can do this through Christ who gives me strength. I can forgive that person. I can forgive my parent. I can forgive my child. I can forgive my spouse. I don't want to. And when you do, everybody's like, "See, I thought they'd never do that." And you say, "I didn't. It's God through me that gave me the ability to do that. I can wait. I can be pure. I can quit that addiction. I can obey God. I can obey my parents. I can go to the mission field if that's where God calls me, even though it scares me to death. What about my children? What about our safety?" Well, ask all the other missionaries in every other part of the world. I don't understand how they do that. I don't understand how you can be tortured for week after week, day after day after day, and not give up. I don't understand that. I would like to say, I don't know if I could do that, but I'll never know until I'm there. And they never knew until they were there. And guess what I see? They can. God, I can give you my grandkids. I can even encourage my son and my daughter and my grandkids to go and serve you. God, I can love my spouse. I can love my spouse. Despite what they did, I can love my spouse. What it is that seems impossible that God asked you to do, I can do most things through God who gives me strength, correct? Well, that's how we live, though, isn't it? I can do all things. I can. I can change. Even at my ripe old age, I can change. If you're an usher taking communion, can you head around that way, Bob? You want to head over? And even the ushers taking communion are not, and the worship team, praise team, just Abby up here for right now. But this applies to you guys. You guys walking down the aisle over there, you have no excuse not to do this also, okay? I require listening, even by servants. Let me ask you this question. Before we hand out, stop for just a second. I want to ask you this question. And you can think about it. No, I know. I just want to ask you this question. What is it that seems impossible for you to do that God is asking you to do? What is it that seems impossible for you to do that God is asking you to do? That you have been for a long time saying, "I can't." Or right now, maybe God's, and you can play. Yeah. That'll just make me talk longer and longer. You can hand it out. You can go now. But here's what I'd like you to think about after you get this or before you get it or both. Is there something that God is asking you to do that you feel in your heart that every time it comes, you quick shut it down? I can't. And that foot is stuck in that rock in the current. And you can't do it. It's something that seems impossible. Why would he even ask me of this? That is not even fair for him to ask me to forgive these people that hurt me. What is it that you've been saying, "I can't"? Maybe it's as simple as saying, I can't accept Christ as my Savior. I love this. I think it's really cool. It's a great church. But I can't surrender to Christ. I cannot surrender my life to Christ. I need to run my life. I cannot be humble. I cannot give in. I cannot forgive. I cannot serve. I can't keep going. I already did it. I can't do more. God, you can't ask me to surrender this also. You can't ask me to thank you for this thing that you brought into my life. What is it that God asking you and you're saying you can't? And I think this will be an awesome time. Right before we remember the things that Jesus shouldn't have had to do for us, but he did. And that was really, really hard for him to do, to sacrifice his life for hateful people like me. And for extreme sinners who never even asked forgiveness, but he died for them. What is it that seems impossible for God? Or what is it seems impossible for you that God has asked you to do or to give or to submit? I could go on and on, but I'm just trying to put some quick ideas into your mind, because we want, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, the Bible says. It's even hard to know your own heart. We're just taking a minute for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. And when they're done handing these things out, I'm just going to ask while he plays for us to be silent. Usually we have a song playing here. I'd just like us to be silent. In just prayer between you and God. Not the person that hurt you. Not somebody around you. Between you and God. What is it that God's asking you? I'm not going to have you come front and share this with a group or anything. But what is it that God's asking you to do that you're saying, I can't? Let's just take about 45 seconds or so. Don't time me. Take about 45 seconds or so. And just be honest with God. God, I've been saying I can't. Or maybe you've been saying, God, I won't. But believers say, God, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And maybe just today, right now, you want to say, God, I will. I will. And you know how hard that's going to be. But God has granted on his behalf for you to suffer for him and to endure. Maybe we just want to talk to God for 45 seconds or so. Feeble attempt to explain such deep truths in the scriptures. And that you, through the Holy Spirit, might speak to us. Help us to understand, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time, that we can. Whatever it is you've called each one of us individually to do, I pray that we might take another step forward, unstuck our feet from the I can'ts and I won'ts to the I can and I wills. I know for a fact, I know because I see it in the scripture, that Jesus had that struggle right before his upper room experience and his communion. God, I don't want to do this. God, I don't want to do this. Is there any other way I can do it? And you know what? I've asked God that a lot of times when he's asked me to do something. Can I do it another way? Can I do it like a little bit less? Can I do it a little bit differently? And I think God said, no, Jesus, my son, this is the only way. And God said, okay. I will. I will. And he took the disciples
up to the upper room. And this was before he had this little battle, but he poured some bread and some wine and some bread, and he said, and Paul quotes him by saying, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was to be betrayed. He took bread, and when he gave it thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" And I think one of the things that we do during communion, we pick up the bread and we say, "God, if you can do this for me," this is considering or remembering the Lord, "if you can do this for me, then I can do what you ask me to do, and I will do what you ask me to do." And so kind of let this communion be a remembrance of the day you said, "God, I can," or "God, I will," because that's what he did. And then he willingly sacrificed. He willingly said, "I can," even though it was hard. So he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." That had to be a hard thing. And then not only that, he took the cup and he said, "This cup is just wine, grape juice, whatever." And he said, I'm going to go the whole way. I'm going to sacrifice not just my body. I'm going to sacrifice my lifeblood. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. And I'm not just going to cover over sins. It's not, I'm going to take them away. And so God went the whole way, so far that he took away every sin we ever committed and every sin we ever will commit. And it's been done. It's been paid. That's been paid in full. All we have to do is say, "God, I believe. By believing his heart, the man becomes right with God." So I really want to thank God that he shed it for me. So in the same way he took the cup, he said, "This cup is the new covenant, the new way, the awesome way. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." While the rest of these guys are coming up here, I want to just read 1 Timothy 1, 15 to 17 to you. 1 Timothy 1, 15 to 17. "Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." And you got to understand, that's an important part of that. "Of whom I am the worst." I'm not even in the middle. I'm just a lost sinner, "of whom I am the worst," Paul says. But for that very reason, "I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever." He said that I might be displayed in your life. Not you, I might be displayed in your life. And now, to the King, eternal, immortal, and visible, the only God, to him be honor and glory. Because I'm weak, but he is strong. Let's let people see that we can. Let's let people see a change of "I will" and "I can." And let's celebrate that, because I can through him who gives me strength. So that's why I ask him to sing this song. So now your mood's going to change instantly. Now you're happy. Let's sing this song as a response back to the Lord. You can stand. I think that should be our theme phrase. What is it? Because I say it a little backwards. "Yet not I, but through Christ in me." Or you can say it Philippians 4:13 way. "I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength." And please understand that my heart is fully into this, and my body doesn't always comply, and my mind does not always comply.
I'm right there with you because God is still asking me to do things. I still struggle with those things. But I am convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of God, and nothing can keep God from working through me if I allow him. And please, whatever God has called you to do, I can, I will. Lord Jesus, thank you that we can through you. Thank you that you give us the strength to literally live up to what you called us to. You're an amazing God. I have no idea what you're talking to people about today, but whatever it is, and I know you're speaking to many people, whatever it is, Lord, I want to get my foot unstuck, and I want to take another couple steps forward. I want to grow spiritually by being and doing what you called me to do, little by little by little, until we go to glory. You're an amazing God. Thank you for these students in my front rows. Thank you for the adults and the other places. And God, use us as a church. You're an amazing God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys, for coming. Great to have you here.